right. Hello.
Hey.
And welcome back to the Swine Before Pearls podcast.
Yeah.
The people have been demanding it.
The people have been.
Cry in the streets. They say, we want Swine Before Pearls. And we deliver.
We always deliver. You know what I like about Swine Before Pearls?
No.
You know what I love about... I'm Joel, by the way, if you don't know who
I am. I'm Trent.
Yeah, that's my friend Trent.
Hi.
I love Swine Before Pearls because... You know, sometimes we have absolutely gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching episodes where we get really in-depth, and then there's other episodes where we're reviewing Kidz Bop. Today, we're reviewing...
Kidz Bop?
No, we're reviewing The Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games, let's go!
I wish we were reviewing Kidz Bop.
I'm gonna make the joke again.
Oh.
It's not Proust!
It is not Proust. It's worse. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. So the inspiration for this episode, by the way, so I feel like sometimes we've neglected talking about why we select specific books, right? Or specific works of art.
I thought like a fairy just comes down and like whispers in your ear.
That's exactly what happens. A fairy comes down and says, Trent, this is the best work of art. I find all sorts of online lists, right?
Yeah.
And Steven was looking at the lists too.
Yeah.
And there's this list called Goodreads book best books ever.
Yeah.
And the number one book was The Hunger Games. And Steven said, this was probably voted on by a bunch of 12-year-old girls. And I said, that's the one.
That's it, baby.
I mean, and really the deal is like, we want this podcast to like touch into pop culture stuff.
We're not going to do a good job at it though.
Yeah.
You know,
when have we ever done a good job at anything?
We trample those pearls,
yeah.
Baby.
But I didn't want it to all be like, okay, now we're reading The Odyssey. Now we're reading whatever that book about Genesis is.
Okay, the Bible.
No, it's like...
What's the Bible about, Trent?
No, it's like
give me a quick synopsis.
Like it's a super dense classic book that's like a retelling of Genesis.
Neon Evangelical Genesis?
Yeah, that's the one.
I have to say, though, after just like suffering, literally suffering through Proust, having a trashy young adult teen novel that's pretty decent warms my heart.
Oh,
I'm happy to get back to some just good old paperback. You're sitting in an airport. Okay, let's transport you. You're 15 years old. You're sitting in an airport. You're about to fly to Kentucky. And while you're sitting there, you're reading this book. It's called Hunger Games. It's about a very beautiful girl named Katniss Evergreen. And what she's doing is she's going around and shooting guys with a bow. And you're like, wow, if only I could fall in love with her. Stage right. Boom, boom, boom. There's another girl in the airport. You're not a girl. You're a guy. But there is another girl on top of the other girls in the airport. This girl walks up and she's got a long braided ponytail. Oh my gosh. It's Katniss Evergreen. All of a sudden, you're like, you know what? This feels real to me because I'm a young teen and I'm reading a young teen novel. So you go, you give her one of these. Kind of look at her. You say, that thing. And she looks at you. She doesn't say anything because you're just a creep in the airport.
And yeah, and you can't even whistle.
Plot twist, you're actually a 37-year-old man. It's really weird now.
Wow. Okay. Well, here's my little anecdote.
Mm.
So imagine 15-year-old Trent, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there. I'm reading The Hunger Games.
So full of youth.
Yep, so full of youth. And the description for PETA matches perfectly for a fella in your class.
Hmm.
So
you fall in love with him?
Not quite. I wouldn't call it falling in love, but there was like this very weird moment because I read it like during like the break, like the Christmas break.
The breakup.
Right? No, the
Christmas
the break for
break.
Christmas.
Yeah.
And then I come back to school and see him in class. And like, there's this very weird like feeling of like, I just went on this adventure with you and you have no idea what happened.
He comes back to class and he's like, yeah, so I really got painting myself into camouflage. It's a new hobby of mine. And you're like,
PETA, that's him.
PETA
we made
Pocket,
out in the cave
baby,
together.
Don't you remember me? It's me, Trent, from the Hunger Games. How long would a guy named Trent survive in the Hunger Games?
I don't know. That's a good question. How long do you think you'd survive in the Hunger Games,
Joel? I think I'd do pretty well.
Oh, yeah?
Here's the thing.
Okay.
I'm not an aggressive dude.
So you just run out and then like hide till you get third place? All right.
You know what? Hunger Games has been out long enough that people know the gist of it, that we can go on these funny little rabbit trails.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you got the Capricorn cornucopia deal in the center, right? With all the stuff. Okay. Everyone's getting ready to go. Okay. There's some big meatheads. You know, you can tell they work out. You kind of work out, but not really. You know, sometimes you do a few push-ups before a date. That's your version of working out. So what I do, okay, here's my strategy. What I do is, as soon as everybody runs out, I go into an intense fetal position and I fake a heart attack right off the bat. I'm stressed out. I came from a coal mine. I don't know how to do this. So I have a heart attack. So then, get this, then I just play dead.
For the whole time?
I play dead for the entire time. And then they're getting to the final, you know, grand thing, and the wolves are coming out. Maybe I just let the wolves eat me. I'm playing dead. I gotta stick to it. That's it.
You gotta commit to the bit.
I'm not competitive. I don't care about winning.
you just want to not fight or be killed by a human?
Nah, man.
Is that what's going on?
I'm a pacifist.
Oh, good.
What about you?
I think so. Here's what'll happen. I'm gonna run up in the cornucopia. I'm gonna get in the middle of the battle, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna kill somebody. I'm gonna feel good about myself.
Okay.
And then there's gonna be an axe.
Who are you killing? Are you killing somebody big, or are you hunting somebody small?
I think it's actually like an impressive kill.
Okay.
Like everyone's like, yeah, that's pretty cool. But then all of a sudden, this axe just comes flying and hits me in the back of the head. And okay. I'm gone.
So you're in there for like what? 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's cool though, because like you had some dignity in your death.
Yeah.
they're like on the TV and they're like, and Joel is still in the game. Nobody has figured out that he's still alive. However, he just got eaten by a wolf.
Joel, there is one big flaw in your plan though.
What?
You know when people die because the helicopter things like pick up the body.
Okay. So I just didn't get one.
Okay. Yeah, let's not check on this dead body in this life or death game.
You go to Walmart sometimes, and you know how the thing, you know, you walk out, and sometimes the thing dings. It doesn't always work. It's not 100% foolproof. It's just kind of there. That's the same thing with the little helicopter deals.
So your plan is that everyone will just trust the helicopter?
Yeah. My plan is the two jockey dudes are going to be like, man, that guy hasn't been picked up yet. And then one of the more enlightened ones says, well, maybe there's something wrong with the system. These people hate the system. They're willing to question it. What if something doesn't work in the system? Great.
Okay.
Okay.
But, Joel, we are the system.
Okay.
Do you know where the capital is?
The capital is in Washington.
No.
D.C.
No.
Washington State.
No, it's in Colorado.
Is it really?
Yeah. She talks about
heck yeah.
She talks about how like,
gosh,
it's in
I've
the
read
Rockies.
That book twice and I didn't know where it was.
Yeah. You can actually like look up maps online of Panem.
Okay.
And we're the privileged rich kids.
Dude.
I just spilled.
Go get the servant to pick it up for you.
I just spilled.
It's all right. He's an elite. He can afford another phone. So, okay. Counterpoint. We're both in the Hunger Games.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right.
So here's what we do.
All right. I'm ready.
We both play dead.
Together.
And then somebody actually kills you. And then I just kind of wiggle my body next to you to make it look like I got taken up by a helicopter.
It's genius. It's foolproof.
Okay. So I was thinking about this.
Okay. I'm ready to hear it. What you got?
District. They're from District 11, right?
I think they're from 12.
12.
Yeah, because there's 13 and they're like in the tallest one.
Okay.
Besides the one that got blown up.
District 12 is just Poland.
Explain. Because coal?
They just coal mine and everyone's drunk. That's that, you know, I read it and I was like, District 12's a lot like Poland. And I just got a deep sense of that.
Joel is of Polish descent.
I am of Polish descent. We're proud of our heritage. But nah, man. The Hunger Games, dude. So, real story.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm 16.
No, you're not.
Okay. I was 16. Whoa, I'm starting to hiccup. I was 16. And I don't remember why I bought the Hunger Games book. I think somebody just kind of gave it to me or something. They're like, oh, here. I don't like reading books. Like, I'm better at it now. But when I was that age, I did not care about reading any books. I just dug into that thing like nobody's business. And next thing you know, I read the whole series.
Yeah, I think I was in a similar boat.
It was crazy. Like, to the point. Okay, this is not my proudest moment. Everybody listen up. This is not my proudest moment. To the point that I was on Amazon.com. Guess what I was searching for? Searching for one of those little Mockingjay pins.
Oh, my.
And it was bad, dude. Oh, my. It was bad. I was like, I kind of want a Mockingjay pin. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'm probably going to get ostracized. I'm going to be kicked out of my community
for
wearing it.
You today, as an adult, would ostracize your younger self.
Oh, dude, I'd be like, you're such a nerd. Like, everyone hates you. Why are you wearing that pin?
You're going to make our fans who wear Mockingjay pins really sad.
Yeah. If you still got one of those around, it's probably your fault. No, but I thought it was cool. I, like, really got into it. And that had really never happened with a book where I was like, I'm invested in this to the point where I actually wish I could be in this world.
Hmm. That's kind of messed up.
Why?
You want to live in the Hunger Games? That's like one of the worst worlds to live in.
I think it'd be fine. I think I'd do all right.
You'd do all right.
Yeah.
In a dystopia.
Yeah.
You want to live in a dystopia.
We already live in a dystopia. What's another one? Okay, listen.
This one's worse.
All right. Listen, this is why it would be easy, okay?
Okay. Okay. Tell me why you want to live in 1984.
Okay. So, sure, there's an overbearing government.
Yeah.
There's always an overbearing government, okay? Sure, they might take my little brother away and make him go kill other little kids. I don't have a little brother. I'm good to go. I am the little brother. I'm probably aging out already. All I get to do is make bread and go hunt with my little bow and arrow and not actually work a job in the coal mine because you never see them do it. And it's just easy. And worst comes to worst, oh, I have to go play a death game. So what? Big deal.
You're
have you ever been to Dave and Buster's on Friday night? That's a real death game.
Yeah, you're definitely ending up in the Capitol.
Dude, I'd rock it in there. Dude, I'd rock it anywhere. It's just a
You just want to live anywhere in the
objectively
Hunger Games.
Great place to live.
No, it is.
I would do great in the Hunger Games.
That doesn't make it an objectively great place to live.
Sure. You either get to live a really cool, simple lifestyle. You don't have a cell phone. You probably get a cool trad girlfriend who knows how to like sew. Are you going to have that in your lifetime here? No. So what if you have an overbearing government with death squad sweeping and looking for your family? You have a cute trad wife that knows how to sew. And then maybe you roll the dice and you get to live in the capital and be an absolute heathenist.
Heathenist.
Same difference. It's great.
Okay.
It's amazing. Okay. Dude, yeah. If I was living in the capital, I would drink so many dang Bingo Brights.
Okay. So I was about to share a very mature anecdote about how my second time reading this book, like as an adult instead of as a teenager, like made me realize like how dark and messed up this is. Apparently you haven't matured to that level.
Apparently I haven't.
Cause like when I read it as like a 15-year-old, like I almost enjoyed it like as like the romance part. Yeah. Where it's like, I'm this girl and I'm swept up into this crazy situation and there's this boy. Maybe I like him, maybe I don't. Maybe I like Gale.
One of them is a Hemsworth brother.
Oh. Really?
in the movie.
In Gale the movie. Is a Hemsworth brother?
Yeah. Gale is Chris Hemsworth's little brother.
Really?
Yeah. What's his name? Craig? Craig Hemsworth? Craig Hemsworth?
That sounds fake to me. Okay.
No, it's real! Okay.
Okay, but...
It's dark.
Yeah, just like getting swept up and like, oh, we're doing the interviews and like there's all these crazy new things happening to me.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of fantastical.
Yeah, sure.
But then you read it as an adult, like now that like I have some life experience behind me and I'm like, oh, like it's really dark that they're having these people who are about to die, these kids who are about to die, do interviews where they're like making them into celebrity stars. Like that's actually very dark.
Sure. But isn't that how like real life is too?
We send them to the Hunger Games.
No, but like celebrity interviews, you got young kids getting fame doing celebrity interviews, and then they end up with like all these like messed up problems. So it's kind of the same thing, and we just kind of parade them out, and we're like, "Oh, look, funny. Oh, you're so pretty," and then they're like in rehab 5 years later. That's sad.
Yeah,
that's real life.
Yeah,
I get that. I guess I wasn't looking at it for a deep experience. I was kind of. I think. For me, I had such a great time reading The Hunger Games. I got swept up in my own nostalgia of just like, yeah, sure, there's like stuff you realize as an adult. Like, yeah, this is dark. And like, honestly, when I think it didn't come together for me until I like watched the movie. And I know we're talking about the book, but I feel like the movie is actually a really great kind of coincide to like give you visuals of the book.
It's a pretty faithful adaptation.
It is a pretty faithful adaptation. And when What's-Her-Face dies...
Rue?
Yeah, when Rue dies, I remember when I watched that and when I read it too, it was like, oh man, this is tough. Like you know, there were some real stuff.
Or like throughout the book, which I think is like the one thing the movie like couldn't really depict just because like you got pretty actors doing it.
Yeah.
But like, just talking about like how their bodies decay over the Hunger Games.
Sure.
Like, that's really tough. Because it's one thing if you're like, oh, I'm gruff and grizzled and I'm going to survive the fight.
Yeah.
And it's another thing if it's like, yeah, everybody's just kind of like falling apart and we're like not in good physical health.
Sure.
And we're just like hanging on by a string.
Yeah. I mean, all joking aside, it's a pretty interesting concept to have that. And I think whenever you involve like kids in something, it kind of makes it all the more real. Cause it's like, oh, like kids, their brains aren't fully functioning. They're not going to make the same decisions as adults. They're not, you know, it gets kind of gnarly out there. But
there was actually a guy I knew who refused to watch the first Hunger Games movie because it's about kids getting killed. But then he was fine with watching the other, I guess, three, technically.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's adults dying.
Instead. Yeah. Yeah. So, The Hunger Games is dystopian.
It's dark.
It's dark.
And it's Joel's fantasy.
And it's my fantasy. Here's the thing. You had, on the Christmas Story episode, you got to have a manifestation of your fantasy, aka dancing in a gym, having a will they won't they situation. I get to have my fantasy of haggling for bread. But like, there is kind of like a, yeah, say what you want, like dystopian, dark, blah, blah, blah. There is kind of a purity in like these districts.
It's a simple life.
Yeah, it's a simple life. Like, yeah. And like, honestly, until Katniss screws everything up, says revolution. Yeah, it's tough, but that's life. Like, yeah, you're not an elite. So what? Boo hoo. You know, like you're like very slim going to be picked to go to this Hunger Games thing. You know, like it's a very slim thing that you get picked to do it. Okay. You get to live a pretty cool life. You know, it's tough, but you get to live a life.
You sound like a talk show host from the Capitol.
It's basically like, you know, the Mayans.
Yeah.
They had a pretty cool culture and they sacrificed a few people.
So cool.
Yeah. Well, that's just what you got to do. You know?
Atrocities are rad. What can I
say? No, it's not atrocities. It's a tribute.
Okay, good.
Imagine, okay.
We're learning so much about imagine, your worldview.
Imagine if, like, tributes were just, like, they just take all the best tribute bands and then, like, make them, like, play against each other, and it's more like a battle of the band situation.
This is my Beach Boys tribute band.
Yeah, so it's like, all right, coming up, we have the Grateful Dead tribute band versus Beach Boys tribute band. And then just play music. Nothing actually happens.
What are the games called?
The music
games. The music game. Wow, you're so creative.
I know.
Okay, but the Hunger Games as a concept are like a very cool game.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that people die. But apparently you're cool with that.
Yeah.
But like, if you think about it, like, the Hunger Games, it's probably responsible for like all of the Battle Royale games.
No.
You don't think so?
Battle Royale is the start of that.
Well, I feel like, but it kind of like, that wasn't what created the current zeitgeist. I feel like Hunger Games created the current zeitgeist.
I think it's more prevalent in popular culture for sure. But
yeah.
No, I agree with that. It's the prevalent reason.
Because like you have like Minecraft, Hunger Games, yeah. And then you got Fortnite.
Yeah, I remember Minecraft, Hunger Games.
Those were awesome.
Those are pretty good times. I think this is like something I love about the Hunger Games is it was like. Maybe that's not a factual statement, but I feel like it was the start to all the dystopian teen novels.
I think you're right.
But it was good.
Yeah, I definitely think it created the zeitgeist. Like I think like Maze Runner, Divergent.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff.
Yeah, and I watched the movies for those. I didn't bother reading the books, and it just felt kind of like it was like, oh my gosh, we live in dystopia and here's this challenge we have to face. But it's not like, it's not at the same level as like, it's like, these kids are bad and they're in another faction. So we have to kill them. It's like, here's a complete stranger little kid that you have to murder. And you're just like, boom, you're transported and that's what you got to do. You know?
Yeah.
And it's so brutal. And I think for me, when I was reading it, when I was like 15, I thought it was such a great allegory for growing up. I felt it was a great allegory for being a teenager.
How so?
Well, you know, like I think PETA is a great example. Like PETA's not necessarily, he's not Gale, right?
Yeah.
Like Gale's just kind of like this Chad, you know? And he's like, oh man, Gale's pretty cool. And like PETA's kind of just like kind of a wimp if you think about it.
But he's muscly.
Yeah, a little bit. You know. But he's like, I don't know. He just like he's not like your idea of like, oh man, this guy's just gonna be running this thing.
He's kind of a passive fellow.
Yeah, he's kind of a passive dude. And I think the way I saw it is like you have all these other teenage kids and you're kind of dropped into this environment of whatever it is, high school, summer camp, whatever you want it to be. And it's kind of like a fend for yourself kind of thing, you know, and you might be this completely unadmirable person because you're not strong. You know, you're not traditionally strong. You're not whatever, but you still like have a chance because maybe you have another talent, like drawing on yourself.
Oh, good.
And hiding in a rock. Because you know how to decorate cupcakes.
Oh, is that why you related him to him so much? I was wondering why you would like hide in the rock.
PETA's my favorite. He just hide.
He just hide.
But you know what I mean? Like yeah, it's this like that. Survival of the fittest kind of thing.
Yeah. War is hell.
Yeah.
And my war, my battle is high school.
War.
Joel, you never went to high school.
War never changes. Okay. No, I didn't go to high school, but I did enough high school summer camp to kind of get a relative like idea of what the hierarchy is like.
Oh,
debate me on that if you want, but
I mean, no.
Like you got the Chads, you got me. I'm wearing a Kermit the Frog shirt. I'm like 5'3". I don't know how to talk to people. You know, I was a freshman in high school going to summer camp, and I had no high school, actual high school experience.
Yeah. You know? I think being a kind of a fish out of water and being like a teenager, like it's a pretty universal experience. It doesn't have to be at school.
Yeah.
But your experience is not valid because of who you are.
Yeah. Devalued.
Yep.
And that's why I don't understand the Hunger Games.
Yeah. Okay. So, but let me explain the Hunger Games for you. Okay. So,
Who is Katniss?
Katniss is Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay. I have a confession.
Oh, yeah.
Huge crush on Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, really? I feel the exact opposite way. Like, I feel like Jennifer Lawrence, like, she's fairly attractive, but like, as far as celebrities go, not really that attractive.
You misogynist.
Like,
you just care about looks. You're an ape.
Why
as
are
a
you
personality,
so, why are you so attractive?
She is so quirky and funny.
Okay.
You've obviously never seen a Jennifer Lawrence interview.
I have not.
She is a quirky, funny, vibrant young lady.
Okay. Apparently, Jennifer Lawrence has a great personality, and I wouldn't know
and
that.
She's hot.
Because I've
in Hollywood.
She's all right. I've only seen her in Hunger Games and X-Men.
You didn't like her in X-Men?
No.
Why?
I don't know. Do I have to defend my personal taste?
I think you might. X-Men was like an awakening for me, dude. That was like my second Princess Leia moment. I was like, this is what I love her.
Is it because she was blue and naked?
No. No. She wasn't blue. It wasn't just that. It was her character arc.
Yeah. Yep.
It was the fact that
okay.
She was a complex character, and she had the past. And
Steven's face palming right now.
Okay, despite that, this isn't even about the movie. It's about the book.
Yeah.
It's
relatively about the book. It's kind of about the book.
It's whatever we want it to be. Yeah. It's our podcast. We could set fire to this table if we wanted to.
Yeah, that's true. We could put bingo brights on Steven's table.
Dude, cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah. I forgot where we were, but I was just vehemently.
I'll talk about the book.
Defending against misogyny.
I think the world building in this book is very good.
Yeah.
Like, it constantly just brings up new ideas, and none of it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, you can be a stupid guy who can't read books about going on walks, but you can read this book and follow it.
Yeah.
And every time it brings a new idea, it's interesting.
And it's so vivid.
Yeah.
The world building, because I read the book before I'd seen the movie.
Yeah, I read the book before the movie came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's what I liked about the movie was it translated so well things that you kind of already had like ideas about. It's like, what does the Capitol look like? Yeah, it's kind of weird and flamboyant and crazy and, you know, it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, it's like, you know, in the cornucopia and stuff. You know, it just like all the stuff you were kind of just like, you kind of had an idea of what it was.
Yeah. And it all makes sense. Like, it feels like Katniss's real world instead of like, oh, this is my dystopian novel.
Yeah.
And they call each other Shanks because they're boys and they're just living together. But it's like, oh, like here's some interesting lore about like how this animal that was originally like genetically modified to be like a spy animal ended up being used against the government.
Yeah.
And now it just roams free in the woods. That's super cool. That's super interesting.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's great. And just like how the game system works.
Yeah,
it's
all very well thought out.
And it got me stoked to read the other books because it was like, oh my gosh, like where are they going to go with this? How is the game going to change? Like what environment? Like we've seen like a wooded mountain environment. Like where are they going to go next? You know.
Yeah. You know what I actually really want?
Yeah.
I want Hunger Games prequels.
That'd like, be kind of cool.
I want to read about the first Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And like maybe it's a little scuffed.
Yeah.
And maybe they haven't quite figured everything out.
Yeah.
And like, or even like a TV show where every season is like a different year of the Hunger Games.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Because then you can kind of get invested in new characters and then they die.
Yeah, and then every season. Like, I think the disadvantage of like the storytelling in the Hunger Games is like Katniss is the main character.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
But it'd be really cool to have a story where it's like, maybe this time you're really invested in this guy. He's the main character and he dies right
at
the
end. Don't know who the main character is supposed to be.
Maybe it's like a false start, like the new Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah.
Where it's like they're almost setting up Michael Rooker as like this main character.
Yeah.
And then he's like the first guy who dies.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, I think that would be super cool.
Yeah. That'd be a really fun one.
There's like so much potential in like, I think I would enjoy a franchise of this.
No, I think when the last two movies came out, I was kind of like full, you know, I was like, okay, I'm good.
I feel like the third book doesn't really hold the premise well.
Yeah. And I fell off reading the third book too when I was like,
I really struggled through it. Yeah. I made it, but I struggled through and it took a lot longer to read.
Yeah.
And I feel like the plot device of the Hunger Games themselves is very important to the quality of this book.
Yeah. 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 It's true because it's so new. Like, even in the second one, it's like, how are we going to ramp this up? How are we going to make this more exciting? You know?
Yeah.
But in the first one, it's like it can kind of be in its most raw form and it hasn't been really explored yet. So it's not like, oh, we need to like wow and dazzle you with new things. It's kind of just the bare concept. And I think that's one of those beautiful things that makes it work so well for the first book is it's like you don't have this preconceived notion of what the Hunger Games are, you know?
You're discovering it.
You're discovering it. And it's kind of like playing a video game. Like, I kind of relate because I was starting to play Skyrim. Same time as playing Hunger Games or reading Hunger Games. But like, I really like that being a newbie and everything is just so fresh and new and you don't know what's around every corner, you know? And that's kind of how I felt reading the Hunger Games. It was like, this is all so fresh and new. And the characters are just written with such like, even like the small characters like Catnips,
I don't think she's a small character.
No, but Katniss is like dress design.
Oh yeah, Cinna?
Yeah, Cinna. You know all the names.
Yeah.
But Cinna, he's in there for like brief periods, but it's just you feel like you know the guy.
Yeah,
you know?
There's a lot to him. Like, he's part of the Capitol, so he like is like kind of part of the problem, but he's also
part of the
like,
solution.
Yeah, he's like kind of an ally too.
Yeah. And that's like the cool thing about it's just like finding people to kind of like stand in with solidarity along the way. And I don't know. I really like that. And man, Katniss as a character, I really like Katniss as a character.
Oh yeah. I think like you can tell right away that she like has a fair amount of trauma in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see how she copes with that. And I think like she makes the best kind of her situation.
Yeah.
And then you can like see how the trauma affects her like going forward through the book.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like equipped to be in the Hunger Games in a way because it's like, oh, she kind of knows a little bit about archery and like stuff like that. But I really like how that is equalized in the Hunger Games. Like, you know, it's like, it doesn't matter if you have a skill that makes you good at killing. If you don't even have like the right tools to start with, you know, like that's the interesting thing. It's like, you'd kind of be like, if a worse writer wrote the book, it'd be like Katniss runs out into the middle, grabs the bow and arrow, just starts pinning down mofos.
Yeah. I actually forgot about that. Like as I was rereading, I was surprised that she didn't get the arrows right away.
No, it's saddest. It's so gratifying because you know, she's going to be good with them, but they don't give her that device until she has to struggle, you know? So it kind of breaks up the deficit of like of like, we don't get to see her become a master archer. She kind of already is, like, she refines her skills a little bit more, but she already has a good knowledge of it. So it's not like, oh, Katniss is amazing at everything and she's going to beat this thing. We get to watch her like go over that deficit, and it makes you just like respect her even more.
Yeah. And she still grows a lot though. Yeah. Like, Haymitch kind of teaches her like how to manipulate the audience.
Yeah.
For her own benefit.
Yeah. Haymitch is a cool character, yeah, too.
You like him?
Yeah. He's I wonder why. Maybe because he's dirty.
Yeah.
Maybe because he has an issue. No, I like him because like I feel like the Hunger Games, it's kind of interesting because we were kind of talking, you're roasting me for glorifying the child killing, which is fair. But like, Katniss knows this is messed up, but a lot of the other kids, this is like an opportunity for them.
Oh, right? Yeah. Like, especially the tributes.
Yeah. It's like, this is gladiator combat. Yeah. You know, it's like, I'm going to go into the arena and I'm going to kill some dude and I'm going to obtain wealth and status because of it. And that's worth it.
And it's their way out.
And it's their way out. And I think Haymitch is so interesting because he's like this contrast to that of like, yep, I got out, you know.
He's living with that trauma for the rest of his life and coping with it very poorly.
Yeah, so it's kind of a refreshing contrast to like all the other tributes who are like, I'm going to be rich and famous and I don't care who I have to step on to do it and this is going to benefit me, you know, whereas Katniss is just kind of doing it out of self-sacrifice that she's even in there in the first place, and PETA's just kind of a dork.
And there's quite a, like,
golly, I love that book.
There's quite a sad, like, moment of reflection for Katniss when she, like, realizes, like, Haymitch has had to, like, train kids up every year.
Yeah.
And just, he knows that they're gonna die.
Yeah.
Like, you already have the trauma of the arena, and now every year.
Yeah.
You have to... kind of relive it through these new kids that you have to personally prepare.
Yeah. I think so I'm gonna go on a little tangent with that.
Okay.
But
go for it.
There's this anime.
Oh.
There's this anime called Demon Slayer.
You can just call it literature.
There's this piece of literature called Demon Slayer. And it's popular. A lot of people have watched it. But the guy who trains the main character, he's like this kind of like sage. You know, he's been through the ringer, and he's like training this kid, and he gives him like this fox mask to wear into the, like the combat trial to decide whether he becomes a demon slayer, where he has to like spend 48 hours in the woods or no, like 10 days in the woods slaying demons and staying alive. Right. And he runs into this demon that like exclusively eats kids with like the fox masks.
Oh.
And then you realize this guy has trained, like, they just show like the ghosts of the kids, and there's like, he's like trained 25 of them, and they've all been like devoured by this demon, and it's like that's traumatizing.
Oh gosh.
You know, and there's like a freedom in that too when you get to see like the kid make it, and it's kind of the same thing with Katniss and Haymitch, where it's like, oh,
like somebody finally survived.
Both of them survived. Yeah. And I don't know. I really like that's kind of beautiful. It's tragic, yeah. But it's like a really beautiful way of like
there's like some victory. There.
Yeah. It's like no wonder the master is a curmudgeon, you know, because he just has to deal with this every year, every time, you know.
Yeah.
Which I really like. I really like the concept of like the master, because sometimes you get like films where it's, or literature where it's like, the master is like perfect and, you know, or, you know, has his issues, but you never really get to see that depth.
You know, something that really hit me on my second reading was, so we have no plans to read the second one.
Nope.
It's not on any of the lists that I've seen.
Yeah.
I
just remember the scene where like somebody's naked.
Oh, good.
That's all I need to know.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Vaguely. But
see, that's it.
Something I did realize was like, if, because I had direct access to the second book as soon as I finished the first one. But the first one in isolation just ends on like this massive, like, bummer of a note.
Yeah.
Like, Katniss kind of like hints PETA into the fact that like part of her love for him was an act.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, okay, how much of that was real? And she's like, I don't know. And then the book's done.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, I want to read the next one. And it's kind of nice when it's like, I can kind of enjoy that book and not really have to get into the whole thing and feel like, oh, I need to get through the whole series, because it kind of falls off near the end.
Yeah.
And you don't need to be disappointed.
Even
like
the second book's kind of slow at
the
beginning.
Yeah, the second book's like, yeah. And I don't know. My man PETA's down bad.
He is.
Know? Like,
poor guy.
I feel bad for him, especially knowing that there's a Chad, like Gale, waiting for Katniss at home.
Yeah. And I relate to PETA like quite a bit. Like I've never been through an experience like what he goes through. But like I feel like this guy who like kind of interviews well and is like kind of a passive guy.
Yeah.
And like I feel like I could end up like, if I was in the Hunger Games, I feel like I could be PETA.
Sure.
And
PETA's kind of the everyman.
Yeah.
That's what I resonated with PETA too when I read it. You know, it's like he's just kind of the everyman. It's not like he's exceptional or anything, but he does his best.
And he tries to be a good person and hold on to his soul.
Yeah, he tries to hold on to his soul. And I think there's, and he doesn't necessarily go through this arc where it's like, and PETA all of a sudden starts shooting up roids. And he starts working out 8 times a day, and then he starts crushing dude's skulls. And now PETA is literally a god amongst men. Like, he kind of stays, he learns things, but he kind of stays his course of his character arc.
Yeah. And like, he's almost just like a foil for Katniss rather than like a character who develops, which
yeah,
I think could be a bad thing, but I think it's well done here.
Yeah.
Where like she has to figure out like, oh, he's like actually a genuinely good person who cares about me. But she's so jaded and cynical that doesn't really.
Yeah. And I think it works for this, for the first book, of like, you don't get that plot line of like, and then PETA and Katniss fall in love. Everything works out. It's like, it's kind of like your first love, you know, that's kind of the feeling I get when I read.
There's a lot of like those like crush vibes.
Yeah. It's like a crush. It's like, oh, we're going to spend a night in a cave and it's going to be romantic. But why are you being mean to me the next day? I don't know anything about girls. What is bread? I know how to paint my hand. You know, high school.
that's exactly my high school experience.
Exactly.
Joel.
But I like that they don't just like. The person who wrote this, Suzanne Collins.
Good old Suzanne.
Suzanne did a really good job because she flirted with romance.
Yeah.
But she didn't just let you just like Twilight and be like, oh, Edward.
Oh, guess what? We're gonna read Twilight.
That sounds amazing.
It's on the best books
ever.
But
it's like, oh, Edward. And it's like, and it's, you're just eating this romance novel to the point where you kind of get spoiled with it. And you're like,
instead, like the Hunger Games teases you.
It teases you. And you're like, you want to read the next book because you want to know where PETA and Katniss go partly. You know, you're like, how does this develop? And that's what made this thing so dang good, was it gave you just enough, but it left you wanting more on that.
Yeah. Here's the deal. We're just big suckers for romance.
Big suckers for romance.
Yeah, honestly.
And what
honestly
a place to have a romantic time in a dystopian world.
Joel's fantasy.
It's not
it's
all
there.
Bad. It's not all bad. Golly, what I would pay for to be in a dystopian hellscape with Jennifer Lawrence.
There you go.
How could you complain?
I could think of better things.
I'm sure you'd waste your time.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Who would I be in the apocalypse? Some questions aren't meant to be answered.
I think you would be a very friendly guy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Friendly apocalypse guy.
I think a big part of the Hunger Games is like there's some very charismatic and fun people.
Yeah, that's true.
And they go in and die because nobody cares. At that point, it's just animalistic.
Yeah, that's me. Remember, I'm the second guy.
Exactly.
To go.
You know why? They abandon their charisma. So I say you go for a charisma build.
Oh.
You just try to talk your way out of every situation.
in the death arena.
You have people to do your bidding for you, not because you're physically imposing, but because you're just good at talking.
All right.
You just maxed out your charisma stats.
Actually, if this was like one of the Hunger Games prequels that we talked about earlier,
yeah,
like that would be a very good book. I would read that.
Yeah. And not like a cringy, like, I'm a mastermind and I know how to manipulate people because I watched YouTube videos on
like
how to get girls to kiss
you. Like a very genuinely likable guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun to explore that.
Yeah, like someone who, like, actually hates being manipulative but's just, like,
yeah,
good with people and, like, that gets them very far.
Yeah, you're just a good, fun-loving, charismatic guy where it's like, you know, you get your crew together and you're like, hey, guys, it's been a long day of killing, you know? You just saw your best friend die, man. It sucks. Hey, you know what? Let's make some dinner. Yeah? Around the campfire? Let's toss around the hacky sack, guys. Let's just build a great company culture.
Have a community.
Look, I brought donuts. We have video game. We have casual Fridays. Just be that guy. And then you've got...
There we go.
And then it comes to the end. And then, you know, you just have to kill one of them. But that's okay.
That's the Hunger Games.
Yeah, it's like, that's it. Sorry,
baby. You know what? Yeah, like, maybe at the end of the book, they go for like an honorable duel.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's the last two of us.
Yeah.
So we both have bow and arrows. And
stand to the back.
Yep. We'll just... Whatever goes.
I wouldn't have any honor in that.
Oh, yeah?
I'd probably just turn around after three and pop him.
Who cares?
He's dead.
Yeah.
He didn't care about my honor.
If Joel and I are in the Hunger Games and we make it to Final Two, I lose.
Probably.
Yep.
Okay. Better idea.
Okay.
Final Two.
All right.
But it's like a series of three events. Thumb War.
Okay.
Okay. So you start with the thumb war.
Got it.
Drawing contest.
Okay, I lose again.
Okay. And then you have to, I don't know, like
you
maybe just like poaching an egg.
Poaching an egg?
Yeah. Like who can do the best, okay. Like, you and know, because that takes skill.
And then whoever
usually
fails.
Dies.
Dies. I guess there's probably like some animal or something like that they designed to kill us. So just jump in.
Like a toucan.
All right.
it's just the Fruit Loops toucan on steroids.
He's like, what's his catchphrase? Like, I'm fruity for Fruit Loops.
You think that's what it
is? What is it?
I think you got the cocoa. I don't even think he has.
I'm cuckoo for cocoa.
I'm fruity for Fruit Loops. What an intro. Hey guys, I'm fruity for Fruit Loops.
Okay.
He doesn't say anything. I'm pretty sure he's just a toucan.
He says, give me the loops.
Give me your soul.
Come, children. Let me devour the fruit.
Invest your soul.
Okay, I think we're getting a little lost in the weeds.
We should turn that into an NFT, that cash phrase.
Okay.
I'm fruity for Fruit Loops. Yo, Kellogg's, when you get off strike because you're not paying your workers, come talk to us.
Hop on the pod.
We got a new slogan.
A new slogan.
We got a new slogan. I'm fruity for Fruit Loops.
I think they might get canceled.
The worst part is like, you're spelling it with O's.
Oh gosh.
No. Right.
So Joel, you've just read one of the best books ever.
Yeah.
How are you better?
Man, you know what? I'm going to be real.
Okay, be real.
I'm better because I got to reconnect with my past self. And it was pleasant because it really just transported me back to a happy memory growing up, reading that book and being excited to read.
And meeting the cute girl at the airport.
Hey, have you seen my Mockingjay pin? It's just like Hassness.
Yeah, so I just got to connect with my younger self and be transported back to a different time. And I don't know. I just, I think it shows that reading can be fun.
Wow, incredible.
No, but I don't know. It just like, it really just, yeah, it just like completed the full circle of my childhood. And I don't know. I don't really know if I have anything deep to say about it, but
I mean,
I think I'd definitely let my kids read this book.
Yeah.
I think like if my kids were like, hey dad, I'm looking for like a young adult novel in a dystopian future to read. I'll be like, dude, have you even tried Maze Runner?
I was about to make the same joke. That actually used to be my favorite book when I was in high school.
Cringe, dude. but no, that's about all I got out of it. It was just some good nostalgia, fun thing to revisit. I don't know if I experienced anything super profound through it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but besides like I think there was like the experience of me growing older and more mature and seeing like the dark side of the book.
Jaded and cynical.
Yeah. Yeah, possibly. I think in a healthy way.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's just a fun book.
Yeah.
And listen, folks, there's nothing wrong with being entertained.
No.
With reading an entertaining book.
No.
With reading a book that just good for you.
You know what? We labor over this podcast.
We do.
Over very tough pieces of work that sometimes we just need to let loose, laugh at some fart jokes.
And talk about the Hunger Games.
Talk about the Hunger Games. We're simple creatures.
Yeah.
But yeah. I wouldn't say this is a very dense piece of work.
It's an easy read.
I'd give this about a 4, maybe a 5 on the density scale. Yeah,
I'd give it a 3.
There's some deeper sub. There's, you know, sure, you can talk about society and class and all this stuff, but that's been talked over a million times.
And it doesn't have much profound to say about it.
No. It's just like, hey, these people, they eat too much. They throw up in the toilet. They're rich.
And they watch people die.
And they watch people die. Isn't that sad? Yeah, it's sad. You know?
But, you know?
There's always going to be people throwing up in a toilet and watching people die.
But there's a lot of value in reading something that's enjoyable to read.
And it was entertaining, man.
Yeah.
It was entertaining. I thoroughly enjoyed reading through this again.
It was a good nightly read.
It was good fun, man.
Yeah.
So I was appreciative. Susan Boyle, or whatever your name is.
Suzanne Collins.
Yeah, you know.
Susan Boyle.
Yeah, Susan Boyle, winner of Britain's Got Talent. You did a good job.
All right. So let's talk about what's coming up, Joel.
What is coming up, my man?
So we've got In the Field coming up next week. And hey,
I love In the Field.
We're actually prepared for In the Field.
We are. We did our homework.
We did our homework. We didn't do it at the last second.
Nope.
We even had time to delay it by a week.
Yeah.
It was great.
Chilling.
Yeah.
It's been a good time.
We're prepared.
Yeah. We're good boys.
But we're not going to tell you what we did.
Nope. You got to find that out later.
As is tradition. Okay. So then after that, we're watching Nomadland. It's going to happen. Joel's excited.
I'm stoked, man. I'm stoked to share Nomadland.
Yeah. I'm glad it's on Hulu, so I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, dude. Big ups. Hulu has all the cool Sundance Festival winners and Oscar winners.
Then after that, we are going to listen to Folklore.
Yep.
And then we're going to read... I believe it's called Hell of a Book.
All right.
So I guess just for context, these works of art all received awards in 2021.
Cool.
Also, you know something I realized?
What?
So it might not actually be productive to discuss what's upcoming, except for the movies, because everyone I've talked to is like, you know, I've listened to all your episodes. That's great. But I'm waiting to watch or listen to the movie episodes until I've seen the movie. But nobody cares about the books or the albums.
Nobody wants to do that.
But I mean, I guess with albums, it's like,
you
know, you can hear someone's recommendation and decide whether you want to dive into it.
Yep.
Because like I've had somebody tell me like, hey, like I actually listen to Pet Sounds now that you guys reviewed it.
That's sweet. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And I just want to say a big old thank you to our viewers.
Yeah, both of them.
And listeners, all two of you. And if you're a straggler that came in through our TikTok, well, God bless you.
Yeah. You know? Subscribe to our TikTok and our YouTube.
Yep.
Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe.
Yep.
If you listen to the podcast on your favorite audio streaming service, watch it on YouTube to bump it up. And if you watch it on YouTube, go ahead and listen to it on the streams to
for
bump
sure.
us up.
For sure.
Because we want to exploit the system.
Yep. Milk it for all it's worth.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Steven, our producer, as always, for taking the time and doing this for
us.
We
love you, Steven.
Big shout out to Twizzled as well for doing all the great sound that you get to hear at the beginning and end.
And Rachel.
And Rachel.
She did the art.
For doing the art and making us stoked about what we're actually doing.
Whenever I tell people about the podcast, I don't get excited about the actual podcast.
Just
get
excited about
the
art. It's like, guys, we have art.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Get excited about the merch. But
we love you guys.
I love you so much.
Both of you. If I could kiss you both on the forehead, I would.
Yeah. And you know, I'd want to live in a dystopian future with you. We could make bread.
Let's hold hands and
paint ourselves green.
We'll kiss in a cave.
Kiss in a cave. Isn't that all we're trying to do in life?
Yep.
Just kiss in a cave. Guys, go out and kiss in a cave this week.
Bye.
Bye. Love you.